Would you open your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 9, 10, and 14. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm sorry, accidentally hit the power button. verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Thank you. Be seated, please.
I'm hoping that the most memorable part of the service this morning is not when you finally got to sit down. I hope we can move past that. Hey, listen, did you notice a theme there in what Robert just read? Several times he sent his Son. He sent his Son. He sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. Would you open your Bible this morning, Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5 just briefly. We're trying to set a theme, a thought in your mind, in your hearts, as we think about those four words, God sent his Son. Here you have it. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. If you're a person that likes to underline or highlight, I hope that you'll draw a little line under those words. Highlight those four words. There are tremendous meaning there. I think implications not just for here and now, but eternal implications. There may not be a greater thought that you're ever going to think than the thought that God sent his Son. He sent his Son to lepers, closing the gap of social, religious injustice, prejudice, but by showing love and compassion to touch and to bless a damaged body, a broken life, excluded, untouchable. God sent his Son so he would cross a stormy lake and go to a sick and troubled man living among the tombs. Ostracized, left all alone with the dead to deal with his own demons. It's the love of Christ that turned that man's hostility into peace. Sadness to joy. Chains to freedom. People find a man transformed because he came into the presence of Christ. God sent his Son to be with prostitutes and thieves, breaking religious laws and social norms by sitting and eating around the table with them, talking about how much life hurts and how much God wants to heal those hurts. God sent his Son to the widow of Nain to show that even in the darkness of grief and sorrow, he's beside us. As Jesus reached out and touched her dead son's coffin, he reaches out and he touches our lives as well. God sent his Son to the sorrowful so they would find comfort, so the fearful would find courage, the weak could be strong, the hungry could eat the bread of life, never be hungry again. The thirsty could taste living water. The sinner could find salvation. God sent his Son because of his love for his creation, a love that welcomes the sinner and befriends the friendless, a love that sets a place at his table for those who never imagined there would be a place set there for them. God sent his son to tell us a story about a lost sheep. To help us understand that everyone is important. Everyone is valuable. We see a crowd. Jesus sees every person in the crowd. Everyone is loved by him. The crowds filled Jericho to see Jesus. Jesus sees the people in the crowd, even Zacchaeus up in a sycamore fig tree. God sent his son to reveal his love for each man. A love so vast it brings belonging where there is none. It creates connection for everyone. His love is a love that sets everyone free. It means everyone who is damaged by sin and damaged by the corrupt world around them, even tax collectors. Everything God the Father sent his Son to do was designed to show his love for us. It's love that creates love in return. As we live with God's decision, we live with a great act of love for us. Our response will be seen in our love for God and in the love that we have for one another. We know by his example and by his teaching that without love, we're nothing. We have nothing and we are nothing. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. God sent his son to be a love example that invites you and me to be someone for those who don't have anyone. So that they can meet Jesus. So that they can know his love that knows no bounds. A love that is limitless. He reminds us in Mark 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. God's decision to show his love through Jesus is seen in other ways too. He sent his son to challenge us so that we would allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, to challenge us to take God seriously, to challenge us to drink from the cup he drank from, a cup of suffering. To challenge us to go and sin no more, to take up a cross and follow him. To seek his kingdom above all else, to allow him the right to decide the course of our decisions, to put God first. God sent his son to challenge us to look at the log in our own eye before we start judging others, a challenge to recognize our own sins before casting stones. He came to challenge us to see the woman caught in adultery as he sees her. Not as she is, but as she could be. God sent his son to ask us questions. Why do you worry about clothing? Do you want to get well? Do you believe I can do it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Why are you so afraid? What do you think about the Christ? Do you truly love me? God sent his son to ask questions not because he needed to know, but because we need to know. To Put it plainly, Jesus asked questions we're too afraid to ask ourselves. He asked questions to make us look at ourselves, to stop excusing ourselves. Questions that help us see the truth about ourselves. God sent His Son to make us uncomfortable. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. The one who gains his life will lose it. The one who loses his life will find it. The prodigal returns home to a rich welcome. The hard-working older brother stands outside looking in on a great party. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Hate your own father and mother, brother and sister, wife and children, even your own life. Follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. Does this offend you? Jesus came to speak the truth in love, to question, to challenge, to disturb us, to stir us up to a greater level of spiritual awareness and growth. He sent His Son to show us our need to pray. Jesus came to give us an example we should follow, to pray for God's glory, God's mission, God's people, to show us what submission looks like, praying not my will, but thy will be done, even when it's costly, even when it hurts. He shows us how to be thankful to God, how to praise God. Jesus came to show us our need to pray to a Father who hears and answers prayer. Above all else, God sent His Son, and by doing so made a decision that no father should ever have to make. He sent His Son to hang on a cross between two thieves, one on His right, one on His left, suffering. Through the violent, brutal ordeal of crucifixion, all the while promising paradise, praying for forgiveness of others. Love suffers long. Love bears all things. God sent His Son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. We're guilty. There's only one way to be free. Someone had to pay the penalty for us. And God had compassion for us. He showed us mercy through the blood of His Son. And all of us who are beneficiaries of that decision can say along with the Apostle Paul, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Titus 3:3-6 tells our story. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's the longer version of a more familiar verse. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to show that in spite of our sin, He still loves us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent His Son so that sin and death would have no hold over us. Jesus took both to the cross, and He triumphed over both in His resurrection. God sent His Son to show that He is unconquerable. Jesus was misunderstood. He was hated, rejected. Evil did its worst. It could not conquer Christ. Not even death could hold him. As we sing, death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. God sent His Son to give us a pathway to heaven, so that by believing in Him, we can have eternal life with God. God's decision gives us an escape from hell. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish. You can have victory and joy and peace, forgiveness, hope, love, eternal life. God sent His Son to demonstrate His love for us, His power that's available to us, to give us purpose in this life, to secure a future with Him. God sent His Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. Listen, God made a decision that affects our lives. A decision that was made without our consent, without our knowledge, and without our approval. A decision was made that would affect our lives now and for the rest of eternity. God sent His Son. The Son who came should be remembered. The God who sent Him is worthy of praise. And so as we prepare to commune together, let's all stand and let's praise God as we prepare to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. For this morning's devotional time did not originate with me. They came from a man named Frank Cunningham. That's Frank. I met him on my trip to Australia. In fact, Frank is with the Campbelltown congregation and is overseeing the work that's being done by Kyle and Carly Cassie. There was a devotional one night that was hosted in someone's home. Dale and Sheila Hartman from the Eastside congregation have a great history with the work in Australia. Dale introduced me to Frank. He told me Frank's story. Somewhere around 10 or 12 years old, his mother came in one night, told him good night, said, "Frankie, I love you." And he didn't see his mother again for 40 years. He was living in England at the time. Kind of had to fend for himself. At some point in his life, he moved to Australia. He was working with a gas company and on a whim, he thought to himself, "What would happen if I put my mother's name into the computer?" He found her address. She was from Scotland. When he was younger, they lived together in England. He moved to Australia. He had no idea she had moved to Australia. He found his mother. She never accepted him. She never apologized for abandoning him. Even after she was diagnosed with cancer, even though he took care of her, till the day she died. At her funeral, he said, "She was there for my first breath. I was there for her last breath. And there was a lot of wasted time in between." He admitted to his closest friends, he had hoped against hope that just once before his mother died that she would acknowledge him as her son. She never did. How does a person come back from that kind of rejection? From that level of abandonment? How do you recover from the pain? How do you find hope for the future? And I can't answer that question for anybody else, but I sat in the audience and listened to Frank Cunningham give his answer. You know how he did it? Because he understands the depth of the four words that we talked about this morning. God sent His Son. It's not with perishable things such as silver and gold that we've been redeemed by the empty way of life handed down to us, but by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb, without spot or defect. How do you find your worth? How do you find your value? How do you find hope to keep trying? Where do you find security and blessed assurance? In the knowledge that God loves you. God sent His Son. And if you wonder about the motive for that, Jesus makes it clear in John 3 and verse 17. He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent His Son into the world that the world might be saved through Him. Do you know what you need to do this morning? That the most important thing that any of us should do, that all of us must do, you need to come to Him this morning. Listen, some need to come in primary obedience. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Some need to come home again. And whether that means that you come in front of all of these people, you know what sin has done to you. You know what sin has done to your relationship with God and how it is affecting your relationship with other people. And whether you do something publicly or just right there where you are this morning, you know it's time to come home to Jesus. The question is, will you come to Him this morning as we stand and sing?